Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Let me tell you about our special guest today. John Stanton has been with us before several times. He has spent his professional career as a scholar and a teacher and as a practicing marketer. He's held position of vice president of marketing of a multinational coffee company and was responsible for corporate customer service. He's worked in Germany for the world's largest food retailer, and he was a director of marketing research for an advertising agency. He currently is a professor at St. Joseph University outside of Philadelphia, and he's written a number of books, including one I'm holding in my hand that you've heard me speak about before many times, Delight Me, the Ten Commandments of Customer Service, along with his co-author Richard George, and another one that I've just gotten in that is absolutely dynamite, folks. It's Success Leaves Clues, Practical Tools for Effective Sales and Marketing by John Stanton and Richard George. John, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you with us again, and I always like having you on the show and hearing your wit and your wisdom. And one of the things that we try to talk about as much as we can on the show is marketing and marketing strategy. And when I want to talk about that, I call John Stanton because he's the expert on that issue. And John, your new book is great. I've gotten into it in the last few days, and I had not seen it before. And I knew about it, but I had not seen it before. And folks, this is a huge book. This is not some little lightweight book. This thing is big and thick. A lot of good stuff in here, John. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, one of the reasons why it's big is that my colleague and I who wrote the book said, the problem is a lot of people read books and they say, it's great ideas, we're going to do something about it, and then they don't know how to do something about it. So
right.
We put worksheets in there.
Yes. Yep.
And we ask people as they're reading to go through the worksheets and step by step, and we think if they do all the worksheets, they'll be a lot further ahead in the process of making some changes. You know, our objective on any of our books is not just to make people better educated, but to make them better marketers.
Well, absolutely. And folks, I'm looking at in the back of the book here, the worksheets are here. Worksheet 1, leadership status on my organization. Worksheet 2, what businesses am I really in. Worksheet 3, test for potential new products ideas. Worksheet 4 is closeness to the customer. It's on and on and on and on, folks. This book has a lot of good stuff for you. And what I like about it, John, as you say, is it actually gets the reader to be a little bit interactive with your thought process, so that they can actually, while they're holding the book, they can actually take part in what you're talking about and do some of the things that you're recommending to them. And you and I both know that when you write something down, your ability to retain that just really magnifies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. You know, one example of that, and we do this all the time when we're consulting. But we always say to people, listen, you guys have a strategy? And they look at us like we're idiots. Of course we have a strategy. What are you kidding me? How can we run a company without a strategy? And you all agree to this strategy. You know, everyone in the room, absolutely. You know, you got to have a strategy. I said, well, do me a favor. Just we all write down your strategy. You know, if I ever go anyplace that any two people in that room agree, I'd be surprised. I mean, writing something down is absolutely mandatory. And you know, it's one thing if you're in a big company and you know that because there's so many people, you got to write stuff down because no one knows what's going on. The challenge is for your listeners, the people that have a couple people managing the company. Maybe you have one owner and he says, what do I have to write it down for? You know, I'm the only person here that has to know.
Right.
You know, write it down.
Well, and you folks, regardless of how you write it down, whether it be on a chalkboard or on a sheet of paper or on a number 10 sack,
yep.
The thing is your folks have to know what that plan is.
Yep.
And I still remember, and I think I've told you this before, John, I love the story about Napoleon. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to claim that it is anyway. And it's where whenever Napoleon was going into battle, they brought in the stupidest private that he had in the whole army, and they had the generals tell the private what the battle plan was.
Yep.
And if the private couldn't understand the battle plan, they changed the plan.
Yep.
It
yep.
had to be understandable to Napoleon all the way down to the lowest rank.
Yep. And a strategy not only has to be understandable, but it has to be doable.
Yeah.
People can't sit around in a boardroom someplace and say, this is what we're going to do. Another great story during World War II, when the wolf packs, the submarines, were devastating, the Allied shipping. they had a big meeting of all the people to talk about how they have a strategy to stop these wolf packs. And they're talking and talking, trying to come up with ideas, and finally one guy comes up, you know, to the microphone there, you know, just, I think what we should do is drain the ocean and bomb the submarines. So anyway, everyone's standing there looking at each other saying, what in God's name? And they look at this guy and they said, and how do you expect us to do that? He said, this meeting's on strategy. That's a tactic. And I think that, you know, what happens in a lot of businesses is, you know, people sit around and talk about strategies mm-hmm. like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to knock IBM out of the number one spot by, you know, calling on all IBM customers. They say, get a grip. I mean, that's like me saying, you know what, I'm going to get in the ring with Evander Holyfield, and the way I'm going to knock him out is I'm going to punch him hard in the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may be the strategy, but it's not going to happen.
Well, how do you make your strategy a reality?
By following the third rule. The third rule that we have is get and stay close to the customer, and the second rule, which is understand what business you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times, you know, we have a lot of people in our programs that are out there in the field, the troops. They say, John, you can't believe how many times we get a piece of paper from corporate headquarters and we look at it. It tells us, you know, what to do. We look at this and say, where in God's name are these people coming from? I mean, and there's not a salesman listening to this show that doesn't know what I'm talking about. This nonsense that comes down is because people aren't close to the field. They're not in the battlefront. They don't know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on, you can't have a strategy. One guy told me for a major pharmaceutical company, Jim, that they put together this special promotion, big deal, thousands of units. So you talked about inventory management earlier, millions of units. They didn't fit on the shelf, Jim.
That's incredible. John, stand by. I've got a story like that, too, when we come back. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Stanton is our special guest. We're talking about marketing strategy. He's got some rules we're going to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me and my special guest, John Stanton, a member of our Brain Trust, the author of Delight Me, the 10 Commandments of Customer Service, which with his co-author, Richard George, as well as a new book, which is called Success Leaves Clues, Practical Tools for Effective Sales and Marketing, which is what we're talking about. And, John, this book is all about you guys having talked to people about what made them successful, isn't it?
Yeah. What happened was my colleague and I, when we were over doing spending some time in Germany, we're just sitting out on this veranda, and I said, you know, how come some people just seem to get it right and other people can't seem to get it right? And I said, there are two possibilities. Either the people that are doing it right are doing something different than the people that aren't getting it right, or they're damn lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can be that lucky.
No.
So I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we try to get together as many cases of particular marketing programs, not companies, but marketing programs, and let's take a look at what the successful programs had in common that the unsuccessful programs didn't have. We wanted to see what were those people doing, and that's where it comes from, success leaves clues. I mean, they left us clues as to what they were doing. At the same time, you know, that we were interested in this whole thing about strategy, we realized that most of the other competitive fields had what they called rules or guidelines. In baseball, they call it the book. How many times have you heard mm-hmm. someone say, the manager's playing it by the book?
Right.
What's the book? They're guidelines that people follow because in the past, when they did that, they more often won.
Yeah.
And we realized that, of course, the military has the rules of engagement. And we realized business really didn't have what I would call guidelines, rules, if you will, to help mm-hmm. us judge the quality of our decisions. And so Rich and I tried to find out what were these guidelines. they're not our guidelines. I mean, I wish I was smart enough to be able to tell your listeners, listen, here's how to do it. All we did was brought the message from all those people. We sat down and we came up with 10 guidelines, rules, that the successful marketing people had in common. And the first one, which just shocked us how important it was leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership was without a doubt number one. We couldn't find a single successful program that didn't have some exhibited form of leadership.
Now, leadership, when you say the word leadership, I think I have a pretty good perspective, a pretty well-defined definition of leadership. But sometimes, depending on their station in life, where they are in their life, when you say leadership, that could mean a lot of things to a lot of people. When you talk about leadership in terms of marketing successes, what do you guys mean?
We're talking about a state of mind, not a position. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a person who could get a group of people to follow, a person who was willing to, a real lover of change, a preacher of vision. That could have been at the lowest level in the company, but it meant that somebody in that organization could rally the rest of those people and say, here's our objective, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to accomplish, and then just go out and do it.
I like what you said just now, because a lot of people think that the leader has to be the guy or the person on top.
You know,
and
most
that's not necessarily, you might not find leadership there.
That is exactly correct. You know, especially in today's world where so many of the large corporations spend more time worrying about Wall Street than Main Street,
mm-hmm.
You have CEOs that are not leaders at all. You know, they're accountants, they're public relations
right,
experts.
They're
just about everything except the leader. And what you do is you go down a little further and you find some of these working stiffs that really, you know, believe what they're doing, et cetera, and they're real leaders. But that's what that absolutely has to be common in these successful programs.
You know,
somebody
and
took control.
And another way to identify a leader, to spot a leader, is someone doing something entrepreneurial. You know, I had someone say to me one time, why don't you call this the entrepreneur show instead of the small business show,
Yeah. Small
business advocate show? Won't you be the advocate of entrepreneurs? And I said, well, I am. But you can find entrepreneurs in big business.
That is correct.
You can be the CEO of a company or the manager of the mailroom at a big corporation and be an entrepreneur.
That is correct. And you know what? It's that's why I think you find so many entrepreneurs in small business.
Yeah.
Is because they might start out in the large companies, but they realize most companies really don't want a lot of entrepreneurs.
Big companies are not fertile soil for free thinking. No
that
question
is
about
exactly
it.
Exactly correct.
John, stand by. We've got to take a break. First, we're going to continue our discussion with our good friend John Stanton, the author of the new book, Success Leaves Clues. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. John Stanton is our special guest and our good friend, and we're talking about some important points in developing marketing strategy. And the new book that he has out with his co-author, Richard George, is called Success Leaves Clues, Practical Tools for Effective Sales and Marketing. John, where is the book available?
Book is available in Barnes & Noble or Borders. I've been in about three-quarters of them have it on the shelf, but if they don't have it on the shelf, they can get it in about 3 days.
Yeah, it'll come
it's
in quickly.
It's in their system. So.
All right, good.
Or Amazon.
All right, sounds good. Folks, I recommend it to you, and don't forget the worksheets in the back. I like the kinds of books. I like the authors who put worksheets and those kinds of things in their books so that you can actually participate and take advantage of some of the things that the author suggests. We were talking about the rules. We were in the rule about being a leader. That's one of the ways to develop a good marketing strategy is to be a leader or to foster leadership. And that's another important thing, isn't it, John? That you know, even if you may be a leader yourself as the owner of the company or as the leader of your group, but one of the best ways to be successful is to foster leadership in others, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really tough. This is a real challenge for your listeners who are in the small businesses to to try to let other people establish some power, some authority, to be able to demonstrate some of their own leadership. It's tough.
Because sometimes people get paranoid about that, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I know some small businesses that are absolutely, they can't grow because the owner is so paranoid about letting anyone else have any kind of responsibility, especially like talking to the clients. You say, why don't you let the other people talk to the clients? Well, mm-hmm. they could get to know the clients and start up their own business just
That's right.
like me, et cetera. So that they would rather not move forward, not grow, rather than turn over some of the...
Oh, they won't share the plans. And, you know, and the thing is that's a danger that's always out there. That's a legitimate concern. But the thing is, the alternative is that you're not going to be any better off. You're going to have a bunch of unhappy people working for you, and the same thing will result. The people will leave you.
Let me tell you two quick stories, Jim. It's the story of we're walking down the street in Germany, and we're seeing some guys work there. And we go to the first guy. We say, what are you doing? He says, look at me, pal. What do you think I'm doing? I'm a bricklayer. I'm laying bricks. Miserable son of a gun, you know. We go down a few more feet, and there's another guy. This guy's humming. He's working a little faster. His work is a little neater. And we said to this guy, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm building a wall.
Yeah.
We get down to the third guy. He's singing his farther along than everyone. His work is beautiful. It's as happy as can be. We said, sir, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. And the fact of the matter is, the leader has to give the employees a cathedral.
Yeah.
You can come to work and lay bricks, or you can come to work and build cathedrals. If they don't know the plan, if they don't know the strategy, if they don't have the vision, they're bricklayers.
John, next rule is know what's under your umbrella.
Well, you know, this we found really, really interesting, because everyone knows what they make. But the question is, what are people buying from you? We argue that people only buy two things. They either buy good feelings or they buy solutions to their problems. They don't buy hamburgers, or they don't buy cars, or they don't buy... That's what you make, that's what you sell, but that's not what customers buy. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine... was actually my college roommate, was vice president of marketing of Fisher-Price toys. And he wondered, why were people paying a higher than average price for Fisher-Price toys and other toys? And he realized it wasn't the toy that they were paying for. It was peace of mind that they were making toys, but people were buying peace of mind. And so he said, well, if they're buying peace of mind, I can make more than toys. And he started going into children's furniture, car seats, room monitors, all of those things that are associated with a parent's concern and peace of mind with the child.
And all had the Fisher-Price name on it.
All had the Fisher-Price name on it. And then he made Fisher-Price clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It bombed. It bombed because he lost sight of... It wasn't Fisher-Price they were buying. It was peace of mind, with the mm-hmm. exception of fire retardant in sleepwear.
Mm-hmm.
There's no issue of peace of mind
right.
with clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it failed. I mean, there are just loads of examples of companies. A great example is 7-Up. 7-Up told America for years and years, they're the un-cola. Remember they said, never
oh, yeah.
had it, never will.
Right.
Remember the guy, Jim, that said, this is a cooler nut. This is a un-cooler nut. Remember that guy? What do you think they came out with? Cola.
Yeah.
7-Up Gold.
Yeah,
it failed. $60 million. But you know what? It wasn't a $60 million new product loss. It was expensive. They confused their customers. They said, wait a second. They're the un-cola, but they're making cola. Give me a Sprite.
You know, and that's the words. You just said something that I say to people all the time. It's something that is absolutely probably the cardinal rule cardinal sin, I should say, when dealing with a customer. If you confuse your customer, you have committed the cardinal rule, in my opinion, of customer service.
There's no doubt about it, because there's too many other alternatives.
Well,
take a look. Can I give you one more? Take
uh-huh.
a look at Budweiser. Budweiser came out, with this Michelob. It was a wonderful beer. Within 6 months of its introduction, it was on the top 10 beers of America and never left the top 10 list. And then what they decided, did I say Michelob?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Michelob.
Uh-huh.
They decided to come out with Michelob Dry.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, Jim, I try all the time, but no matter how hard I try, I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth at the same time. And that's what Budweiser tried to do.
Absolutely. Stand by, John. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Stanton is our special guest. He's the author of the new book, Success Leaves Clues. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Stanton is our special guest. He's a good friend and a member of the Brain Trust, the author, along with his co-author, Richard George, of the book called Delight Me, the Ten Commandments of Customer Service, which we've talked about on the show many times before, as well as the new book, which is called Success Leaves Clues, Practical Tools for Effective Sales and Marketing. And don't forget, folks, this book's got some worksheets in the back that are very handy, will help you to develop a good and effective marketing strategy. And what we've been doing this hour primarily is talking about some of the rules that John and Richard have learned in doing the work that they do and studying how people are successful in marketing. And we've been talking about some of those rules. And the next rule that we've got, John, is called Get and Stay Close to the Customer.
Well, if there's anyone that left us a clue on that one, it's the Walmart organization and Sam Walton in particular. You cannot run a business, whether it's big or small, if you're not intimate with the workings of your customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that is to get and stay close to the customer. Now, here's one of the problems that the big companies, their problem is all the big shots, you know, in the corporate headquarters, never leave the company and never really get close to the people. The problem with the small companies, Jim, is that when they get with a customer, all they want to do is sell.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have to separate the process. If I ask people in small companies, do you spend much time talking with customers? They said, yeah. I said, have you ever done it other than a sales call? They say, no. I mean, it's important to try and understand the problems that the people have and how you can solve them. Because that's how you're going to become successful, solving customers' problems.
See, that's one of the things that I have been trying to get across to some of the big companies about small business owners. Small business owners are unique as a demographic in that we're not like people who consume most things. We have special needs. We need help. We don't just need to buy your stuff. We need you to help us.
Yep.
And they don't understand. They still don't get that for the most part.
No.
When you see the advertisements on television or wherever, you see them running these things, and the words say we're helping small business.
Yeah.
But the subliminal message is buy my stuff.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And their point is that's how we're helping you is we're making this stuff for you.
Yeah.
But here's what I say, John, and that is that as long as I live, I'm going to be a cola drinker.
Yep.
So regardless of where I go, what I do, whether I'm successful or not, I'm going to drink a cola, I'm going to drive a car, I'm going to buy a shirt. And so I don't need any help with that except for you to make that product available.
Yep.
But as a small business owner, if you want me to buy something today and be successful enough so I can buy the next generation next year,
yep,
I need you to do some other things for me, like help me get better educated about different things. And
you know, you are 100% on target, and I'll give you a good example. When all the entrepreneurs were starting to work out of their home and there were more and more home-based business, there was nobody really out there that was helping them set up home offices.
Yep.
I mean, this was kind of a new phenomenon. And we were working with the AT&T people, and we said, why don't you guys become the home office experts? Because the more telephone lines they put in, if they put in a fax line, a computer line, a telephone line, you're making money hand over fist.
Yep.
The more that they use their fax, et cetera, the more money you make, et cetera. And I said, you know, there are a lot of things you can do. You can tie this into working with the Small Business Center. You know, you have to have an AT&T long-distance contract, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But you help them with office, chairs and paper and everything you need to have insurance. And you just be the experts for them. They looked at me like we had three heads.
Oh, yeah.
They said, we sell, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We sell telephone service. You know, and no, I said you don't. What you do is just you help small businesses, and believe me, they need help. And one of the places that has stepped in, I think some of the Staples and some of those places really stepped into that void and have helped a little bit in that regard.
To some degree they have, but they still only see the help as being directly connected with what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to be specific to what they do, not general. In other words, they still don't understand the concept of casting your bread on the water.
No, that's for sure. And they also don't. I mean, it's about them. It's not about you. And one of the things we say, listen, being in business is about your customer.
That's right.
If you take care of them, they'll take care of you. Most people think they have to go out and take care of themselves. No, you take care of the customer. If you do, the customer will take care of you. I mean, there's no problem with that.
Well,
that's a hard, that's a very, very hard concept, you know, to get across.
But people, when people, regardless, if it's, you're a small business dealing with a big business,
yep,
that big business has different needs today than they had 5, 10, 20 years ago, and you've got to find out what those are. The marketplace is a much more dynamic, complex, and dangerous place today than it was, even for big businesses.
Oh,
and if you don't find out what the special need of that customer is, if it's a huge company, conglomerate, or a little bitty one-person customer, if you don't find out what they need and help them get that, I mean, small business needs to take a lesson from what I'm saying that the big business people need to do.
That's exactly right. And the last thing you want to do is the small businesses emulate those.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about a small business is you can get closer to the customer. It's easier to get closer to the customer, mm-hmm, and they should be getting closer to the customer. But many of them aren't. You know, many of them are too tied up with the account. You know, I always ask people in our seminars, I said, how much do you make from this product? We tell them you make nothing from the product. You make money from the customer that buys it.
That's right. John, stand by. We'll get you to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. Folks, we've got some more rules to talk about. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. John Stanton is our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. And John Stanton is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of Success Leaves Clues, along with his co-author, Richard George. This book, folks, I recommend it to you. It's not only filled with a lot of good stuff about marketing strategy, how to make sure you're successful in your marketing strategy, there actually are a number of worksheets in the back that there's 11, 12 or so, yeah, about 12 worksheets in the back that help you to take what you learn when you read the book and some of your thoughts and what you're doing in your business and apply them to these worksheets, and you can actually make something happen from this book, not just read it and try to retain it. You can actually take action. And, John, I want to congratulate you and thank you for making that available to the audience.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
It's available in bookstores, folks, online, anywhere you want to go. It's called Success Leaves Clues, and just remember that, or John Stanton. John, let's do one more of the rules that we've talked about that you've got in your book on how to be successful in marketing strategy. Another one is know your playing field. Talk to us about that.
Could you imagine a football team getting ready to play the opposition? And they run out on the. They're ready to go out, and they say, "Well, hey, wait a minute. Is this a day game or a night game? Are we playing on AstroTurf or on grass? Or
what town are we in?
Yeah,
who are we playing?
Are we in the north or the south? Is it snowing or? I mean, no competitor. Could you imagine an army not having any idea what the terrain is like, etc.? But yet, our business people do it all the time. They really don't focus on what is the terrain in which they're doing this business. The people understood the world that they were doing business in, and more importantly, actually, how that world was changing. And I think that the dilemma is, of course, and this is the basic problem that everyone has, they think it's about their product. They think it's about their product because they spend all their time on their product,
mm-hmm,
making it, getting it, or their service, and in reality, it's not. And it's the environment in which you have to present that product that becomes really important. And that's what that rule is about. People understood the world around them and the impact that the world around them had on their... We were just talking earlier. I mean, if someone was in business, they could see the advent of the home office and more people, mm-hmm, working at home. And but by the way, with all the downsizing, the number of new entrepreneurs that are out there in the marketplace... Somebody should be out there helping those people get started, and there are not a lot of people out there doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's...
There's a radio station I know of that's helping them.
You're sure singing my song. But, you know, another thing that I think of, that I was just thinking of as you were talking about that, it's a little bit of a tangent off of this, is look at all the people that you know that are successful with a product that is marginal.
Yep.
And it's because they were able to find out how to be successful in that marketplace. They knew what their competitors were doing. They knew what their customers wanted. They knew what the environment was around all of that. And they were able to figure out a way to be successful in their playing field with a product that might just be marginal.
Let me give you a great example. How good is that McDonald's hamburger? That's not about the best product in the world, is it?
Nope.
I think I had a better hamburger just about every place on earth.
That's right.
But you can't be more successful hardly than McDonald's, because they understood it's not about the hamburger, it's about the kids having fun.
Yep.
So they didn't put more time and attention in the hamburger, they put more time and attention into the playgrounds for the kids. They put more time and attention into the clowns and all of the other things.
Right. I'll tell you, they did one more thing, and it's one of the reasons I do business with them. They give good service. I mean, you can get in and out of that place quicker than any other alleged fast food place.
That's right.
In the country. John, we've got to wrap it up. I want to get you back and finish up some more of these,
well,
some more of these rules,
Jim,
in the future.
Because what I figured we'd do is we'd give them three or four rules, and then they'd have to figure, they'd want to go see what the other ones are.
You tricky guy.
Yeah.
Hey, John, have a good
come back sometime and talk about them.
Have a good one. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
Enjoyed it. Bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.